Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. And today we're going to be unpacking the experiences of entrepreneur Adonaike Johnson. We've got excerpts from her book, Ask Adonaike, Rejection, Resilience, and Recovery.
Right.
And some additional materials that she shared with us.
Okay.
I have to say, her story is quite the emotional roller coaster.
It is.
And it really made me think about how rejection can actually become a stepping stone to incredible strength.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like, you know, rejection was holding you back? I know I have.
Oh, for sure.
Well, Adonaike really shows how you can use those experiences to grow.
It's so fascinating how much her early life seems to have really set the stage for so much of what she went through later.
Yeah.
You know, she talks about her childhood in Jamaica, climbing trees, playing with her dog Lassie.
Sounds idyllic.
It does,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But when she was 9 years old, her dad left and never came back.
Oh, wow.
And even before that, their relationship had its ups and downs. Yeah, he would be really present and playful for a while and then disappear for weeks at a time.
So there's already that inconsistency.
Yeah, that emotional whiplash, even before the abandonment.
Yeah.
It just makes you wonder how that early experience might have impacted her later relationships.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I definitely see echoes of that pattern.
Oh, totally.
In her adult life.
Wow.
She talks about being very trusting, maybe even a little submissive.
Yes.
And almost like she was constantly looking for that stability and love that was missing from her childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then those patterns, you can really see them in the string of difficult relationships that she goes through. A teenage pregnancy where the father rejects her.
Right.
Then later she gets engaged, and her fiancé, who struggles with addiction, ends up selling the engagement ring for drugs.
Can you imagine that betrayal?
Heartbreaking.
It's just, that's so hard to read about. But she picks herself back up.
Wow.
Moves from Toronto to Alberta for a fresh start, and ends up meeting another man online.
Okay.
They marry very quickly.
Oh, wow.
And she moves with him to the USA.
Hoping for that new beginning. Hoping for that happily ever after.
Exactly.
But it turns out that relationship became abusive, too.
It did.
Both towards her and her son. She talks about incidents of physical and mental abuse, and you just feel for her reading about what she endured.
It's a gut punch, that's for sure. And then he ends up getting jailed after a violent incident.
Oh, wow.
And even after all of that, she ends up in yet another difficult marriage.
Oh, God.
Starts a business, builds a family, only to have her husband leave her abruptly, claiming it was God's will.
It's like this recurring theme of putting her trust and hope into these relationships that ultimately fail to provide the safety and stability that she's craving.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
What's remarkable, though, is that every time she gets knocked down,
she does.
She picks herself back up.
Yeah.
Rebuilds her life.
She's so resilient.
And tries again. By her own account, she ends up losing everything. Her business, her home.
Wow.
She even describes sleeping on the floor at one point.
It really does speak to her resilience. And as if all that wasn't enough.
Right.
Just recently, while we were prepping for this deep dive, Adonaike shared with us that her father had passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That adds another layer of complexity to this whole story.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the mix of emotions that must bring up, you know, grief.
Right.
Maybe anger.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe also some relief that this long search for connection with him is finally over.
It really does make you think about how that loss, even after all these years, could be impacting her healing journey.
Absolutely. You know, there are a couple of specific moments in her story that really jumped out at me.
Okay.
That I think really illustrate these patterns that we're talking about so vividly.
Yeah, I'm all ears. It's often in those details that the bigger picture starts to become clear.
Exactly. So, for instance, when Adonaike moved to the USA with her second husband, she left a good job and a condo in Canada.
Okay.
She had a chance to build real wealth, stability.
Right.
But she chose to leave it all behind to be with him.
And she even mentions that her mother-in-law discouraged them from buying a house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which just created more tension and ultimately just fed that cycle of abuse.
Oh, wow.
It's like she kept making choices that made her vulnerable.
Yeah.
Almost like she was subconsciously seeking out those familiar patterns.
Don't you think it's interesting how that mirrors that dynamic with her father?
Oh, absolutely.
That love and attention were always there, but so was the uncertainty, the absence.
Yeah.
It was like she was almost drawn to recreate those early experiences.
Yeah. It really underscores the power of those early experiences to shape our subconscious beliefs and behaviors.
Yeah.
It's almost as if we're trying to heal those old wounds by replaying them in different forms, hoping this time we'll get a different outcome.
Right.
Which, sadly,
it doesn't usually work that way.
Yeah, it rarely does.
And then this leads us to one of the most powerful moments, I think, in Adeneke's story.
Hmm.
It's her realization about the rejection that she had feared for so long. Remember that quote? The rejection was my ally and not my enemy. I don't need to be convinced, but rather to accept their perspective. They have the right to walk away.
That's such a powerful shift in mindset.
Yeah. It's like she finally realized those rejections, as painful as they were, might have actually been protecting her from something worse.
Right.
It's real empowerment.
It really speaks to the idea that sometimes what we see as rejection is actually redirection.
Yeah.
Like life is nudging us towards a different path, even if we don't understand it in the moment.
You hit the nail on the head. It's in that space of acceptance.
Yes.
Of letting go of the need to control others that I think true healing can really begin.
Absolutely. And this is where Adeneke's concept of the void comes in.
Yeah.
You know, she describes feeling this emptiness, this longing that she often mistook for love.
Right. And she breaks that void down into those four elements.
Mm-hmm.
Protection, authenticity, play, and comfort.
Yeah. Pretty fundamental human needs, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. But it seems like she was searching for those things in external sources.
Right.
You know, in those romantic relationships, rather than cultivating them within herself.
Yeah. And when those relationships failed to deliver, it just reinforced that feeling of emptiness.
Right.
And sent her searching for fulfillment in the next relationship.
It's a cycle that I think a lot of us can relate to.
Oh, for sure. And it's particularly relevant for entrepreneurs who are constantly seeking validation from investors, from clients,
right,
even competitors.
Right.
But before we dive into that, I think it's time we unpack some of the psychological insights that Adeneke's story brings to light.
Okay.
You know, these might help us make sense of these patterns, not just in her life, but potentially in our own lives as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So let's explore some of these psychological concepts, you know? And again, remember, we're not diagnosing anyone here.
Right.
We're just looking at how these ideas might help us make sense of these complex patterns we see in Adeneke's life.
Right.
And maybe even in our own lives.
And maybe even our own. Yeah, for sure.
Right. So I think for a lot of us, the term attachment theory rings a bell.
It does ring a bell.
But maybe we just need a little refresher.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. Basically, attachment theory says that the very early bonds that we form with our caregivers, especially as infants and toddlers, have a huge impact on how we relate to others throughout our lives.
Yeah.
It shapes our sense of safety and trust,
how
we handle intimacy.
Yeah.
Think about it like this. Those early relationships create a sort of blueprint for how we approach love, connection, and even business partnerships.
That makes sense.
Right.
So how does this play out in Adeneke's story?
Well, consider the impact of her father leaving when she was 9.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
That kind of abandonment at such a crucial age can really lead to deep-seated feelings of insecurity and fear of being left behind.
Right.
It can make you question your own worthiness of love and attention.
Right. Which could explain why she was so drawn to these relationships, even the ones that weren't healthy.
Exactly.
It's like she was unconsciously trying to fill that void.
Exactly. And you know, depending on her specific experiences, this could manifest as anxious attachment or avoidant attachment.
Right. Have you ever noticed how some entrepreneurs are constantly chasing the next big deal?
Yes.
Always needing that external validation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that could stem from an anxious attachment style?
Absolutely, that they developed early on.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between anxious and avoidant attachment?
Well, someone with an anxious attachment style, they tend to crave closeness and reassurance. Mm. They might be a little clingy.
Yeah.
Worry constantly about being abandoned.
Okay.
Always needing validation from their partners.
Right.
Mm. Sometimes at the expense of their own needs.
Yeah, I see that.
Imagine an entrepreneur who's so desperate for funding that they agree to terms that aren't really in their best interest just to avoid that feeling of rejection.
Wow.
That could be an example of anxious attachment playing out in a business context.
Yeah, that's really insightful.
Mm-hmm.
And what about avoidant attachment?
So those with an avoidant attachment style, on the other hand, might struggle with intimacy and commitment.
Okay.
They tend to push others away,
Right.
fear getting too close,
Okay.
have difficulty expressing their emotions. It can also show up as an entrepreneur who sabotages promising partnerships
Right.
or avoids collaboration.
Oh, wow.
For fear of becoming too vulnerable.
Interesting.
Right.
So two sides of the same coin, but both rooted in that early insecurity.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Both can play out in our personal and professional lives.
Exactly. It's like those early experiences create this lens through which we view all of our relationships.
Yeah.
So another concept that often comes up in situations like at a Nike's is complex PTSD or CPTSD. CPTSD. I know PTSD is usually associated with a single traumatic event.
Right.
But what makes it complex?
Think of PTSD like the shockwave from a single explosion.
Okay.
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 CPTSD is more like living in a war zone.
Oh.
It develops from prolonged exposure to trauma.
Okay.
Often in situations where escape is difficult or impossible.
Wow.
It's not just one event, but a series of them.
Right.
That chip away at your sense of safety and stability.
So in Nadi's case, the multiple abusive relationships, the constant upheaval and instability she experienced over so many years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And CPTSD can manifest in a variety of ways.
Okay.
Difficulty regulating emotions.
Yeah. Okay.
Feeling constantly on edge.
Mm-hmm.
Having those negative thoughts about yourself.
Yeah.
Struggling to trust others.
Right.
Imagine an entrepreneur who can't seem to celebrate their successes.
Right.
Or is always anticipating the next disaster.
Yeah.
That could be a sign of CPTSD impacting their ability to enjoy the fruits of their labor. It's heartbreaking to think about the impact that this has had on her life.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember that CPTSD is a serious condition.
Absolutely.
That requires professional help.
Yes.
It's not something that you just get over.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Now, shifting gears a bit, there's another concept that's particularly relevant in Adonike's story.
Okay.
And that's codependency.
Codependency. I feel like that gets thrown around a lot.
It does.
I'm not always sure I actually know what it means.
Well, you know, think of it like this. You're so focused on keeping everyone else afloat that you end up drowning yourself.
Oh.
Codependency is a pattern where you prioritize the needs of others at the expense of your own well-being.
Right.
You might feel responsible for fixing or rescuing them.
Okay.
Even when it's detrimental to your own health and happiness.
So in Adonike's case, this might explain why she was constantly trying to fix her partners.
Exactly.
Make those relationships work.
Yeah.
Even when they were clearly unhealthy. Yeah. It's like she was taking on the responsibility for their happiness.
Yeah. And this often goes hand in hand with low self-esteem.
Right.
And a fear of abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, codependent people often seek validation from others.
Yeah.
Because they don't feel worthy or lovable on their own.
Yeah.
And this can be a major roadblock for entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Leading them to overwork.
Right.
Neglect self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And constantly seek approval from others.
That's a vicious cycle.
It is. You give and give, hoping to receive love and approval in return.
Right.
But it never quite fills that void.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder if Adonike was drawn to partners who needed fixing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gave her a sense of purpose.
Yes.
Or control.
That's a really insightful observation.
Yeah.
And it highlights how these patterns can be incredibly complex and interconnected.
Yeah.
It's not always about conscious choices.
Right.
But about those deeply ingrained beliefs and behaviors.
Right.
There's one more concept I want to touch on before we move on. And that is trauma bonding.
Trauma bonding. I've never heard of that.
So trauma bonding explains why people can feel so attached to their abusers.
Okay.
You see, in abusive relationships, there's often this cycle of violence.
Okay.
Followed by periods of intense affection and reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
The abuser might apologize, promise to change.
Right.
Shower the victim with gifts or attention.
So it's like this emotional roller coaster.
Exactly.
And those highs and lows create this powerful connection.
Yes.
But a very unhealthy one.
Right. And the victim might start to rationalize the abuse, blame themselves, make excuses for their abuser's behavior. It's a very complex and often confusing dynamic.
Yeah. This might explain why Adonike stayed in those abusive relationships for as long as she did.
I could.
She was clinging to the hope that the abuse would stop.
Yeah.
That the honeymoon phase would last.
Right. It's a very common pattern.
Wow.
And breaking free from it can be incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
But with the right support and understanding, it is possible to heal and rebuild.
We've covered a lot of ground here. Attachment issues, CPTSD, codependency, trauma bonding.
Here.
And I think it's important to acknowledge a couple more areas that might be relevant to Adonaike's experience.
Yeah.
Borderline personality disorder, or BPD.
Yes.
And the impact of depression and anxiety.
Absolutely. So BPD is characterized by unstable relationships.
Okay.
Intense emotions,
mm-hmm.
a fear of abandonment,
right.
and impulsive behaviors.
Okay.
Now, again, we're not saying Adonaike has BPD.
Right, of course.
That's a diagnosis a professional would have to make.
Right.
But some of her experiences, the relationship struggles, the emotional intensity, her fear of being alone,
yeah.
do seem to align with some of those symptoms.
They do.
Right. And it's worth noting that BPD is often linked to early trauma and neglect,
right.
which Adonaike clearly experienced.
Right. And depression and anxiety. I can only imagine those are pretty common responses to the kind of trauma that she's endured.
Absolutely.
Especially with the recent passing of her father.
Yeah, for sure. So depression can show up as sadness.
Yeah.
Hopelessness,
mm-hmm.
loss of interest in things that you once enjoyed,
right.
even changes in sleep and appetite.
Wow.
And anxiety can manifest as excessive worry, panic attacks,
yeah.
difficulty relaxing,
yeah.
you know? And with her father's passing, those feelings must be even more intense for her right now.
Yeah, I would think so.
Grief can be such a powerful trigger, especially when layered on top of existing trauma.
Absolutely. It's a lot to process, for sure.
It is.
But while we've explored the challenges,
mm-hmm.
it's important to remember that Adonaike's story isn't just about the trauma and the pain.
No, it's not.
It's also about the resilience.
Yes.
Finding that strength to overcome incredible adversity.
That's what we're going to dive into next.
That's what I'm most interested in.
Yeah.
How she turned those rejections into stepping stones and found her voice.
Absolutely.
And most importantly, what we can all learn from her journey.
Yeah.
So welcome back to The Deep Dive. We're wrapping up our look at Adonaike Johnson's experiences.
Okay.
With rejection, resilience, and recovery.
Right.
We've gone from her childhood to some pretty intense psychological patterns.
We have.
That emerged in her relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it's time to shift gears and talk about the power of transformation.
Yeah. It's incredible how she took those really painful experiences and turned them into stepping stones.
Mm.
You know? It's about finding your voice and using those difficult moments to fuel your growth.
Yeah, and that quote we talked about earlier,
yeah.
The rejection was my ally and not my enemy.
Right.
It really struck a chord with me. It's such a profound shift in perspective.
It is. Think about it. Sometimes those closed doors, those no's that we encounter,
mm-hmm.
they're actually redirecting us towards something better, something more aligned with who we really are.
Right.
You know, it can be hard to see it that way in the moment, though.
It's like the universe is saying, okay, that path wasn't for you. Let's try this one instead.
Exactly.
But you have to be open to seeing those signs.
Right. And it takes courage and self-awareness to embrace that redirection
mm-hmm.
and trust that there's a bigger plan unfolding.
Right.
But it's not always easy, especially if you're struggling with that void that Adonaike talks about.
You're right. That sense of emptiness, that longing. Remember how she talked about mistaking that for love?
Yes.
And she broke it down into those four elements. Protection.
Right.
Authenticity, play, and comfort.
And it's so fascinating how she realized she was looking for those things externally.
Yeah.
You know, in romantic relationships.
Right.
Instead of cultivating them from within.
Exactly.
I think a lot of entrepreneurs fall into that trap too.
Yeah.
They do always searching for that next big win, that validation from investors, the perfect product launch.
Yeah, it's like we become addicted to that external validation, always chasing the next high.
It's a temporary fix. Yeah.
And it can actually make that void feel even bigger.
It does.
So how do we break free from that cycle?
Right. How do we turn rejection into resilience like Adonaike did?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, it is. It is.
What did you make of that line where she talks about shifting her focus from seeking validation to servitude to God and acceptance?
You know, I think it points to a deep shift in her values.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
It's about letting go of that desperate need to control or please others
mm-hmm.
and aligning yourself with a higher purpose.
Absolutely.
And for her, that was her faith. But it doesn't have to be religious. It
yeah.
could be anything that gives you a sense of meaning.
Exactly.
And connection beyond your ego.
Yeah. It's about finding your own internal compass.
Right.
And recognizing that your worthiness isn't tied to what others think of you.
Right. It's like she's finally claiming her own power, stepping into her authentic self.
Yes.
And that allows her to approach relationships from a place of wholeness, not neediness.
Yeah. She's not trying to fill a void anymore.
Exactly.
She's sharing her true self with the world.
And that's such a powerful message for all of us, especially entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
You know, rejection, heartbreak, even those business failures, those are all part of the journey.
It's true.
It's how we respond to those challenges that defines us.
Right. At a Nike story reminds us that we have a choice.
Yes, we do.
We can let those experiences break us, or we can use them as fuel for growth and self-discovery.
We can choose to see those rejections as signposts guiding us toward a different path.
Right.
And it might be a path that we didn't expect, but it could lead us to something even more fulfilling.
And who knows? Some of those rejections might actually be blessings in disguise.
You're absolutely right. Sometimes it's about protecting ourselves from something that wasn't right for us in the first place.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Adonike Johnson's journey, I'd like you to think about the rejections in your own life. What if those rejections were actually opportunities for growth and self-discovery?
Mm.
What if they were redirecting you toward your true path?
What if they were? Yeah.
Right.
And if Adonike's story resonated with you,
yeah.
If you're facing similar challenges, remember, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like you need support,
yes.
Don't hesitate to reach out to a therapist, a counselor, or a trusted friend.
You have the power to rewrite your story.
You do.
You have the strength to turn your rejections into resilience and find your purpose.
That's right. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.